So I'm going to start by just reading this little beginning of him learning to journal and hear God's voice. He said she had done it again. Instead of coming straight home from school like she was supposed to, she had gone to her friend's house without permission, without our knowledge, without doing her chores. With a ministering household that including remnants of three struggling families, plus our own toddler and newborn, my wife simply couldn't handle all the work on her own. Everyone had to pull their own weight. Everyone had age-appropriate tasks they were expected to complete. At 14, Rachel and her younger brother were living with us while her parents tried to overcome lifestyle patterns that had resulted in the children running away to escape the dysfunction. I felt sorry for Rachel, but honestly, my wife was my greatest concern. Now Rachel had ditched her chores to spend time with her friends. It wasn't the first time, but if I had anything to say about it, it would be the last. I intended to lay down the law when she got home and make it very clear that if she was going to live under my roof, she would obey my rules. But she wasn't home yet. And I had recently been learning to hear God's voice more clearly. Maybe I should try to see if I could hear anything from him about this situation. Maybe he could give me a way to get her to do what she was supposed to do. Example, or what I wanted her to do. So I went to my office and reviewed what the Lord had been teaching me from Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. That's from Habakkuk 2, verse 1. And I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision. So Habakkuk said, if you put up the, oh, thank you. Perfect, Jacob. So this is Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2. So he said, I will stand at my guard post. I will keep watch and see. So the first thing that we need to do in order to hear God's voice, the first key to hearing God's voice is to go to a quiet place and still our own thoughts and emotions. Because we want to hear God, but we have to give him time to speak. If I want to have a serious conversation with Rick, I don't try to do it while we're grocery shopping and all the kids are wanting to, you know, get stuff. I pull him into the room. I say, babe, we need to talk. And then I listen and he talks and I talk and he listens. Listen, we need to do that with God. If you want God to speak, you need to get still and quiet and give him time to speak. So Psalm 46:10 encourages us to be still, to let go or cease striving and know that he is God. So that's an important part of the Christian life is to learn to be still. We're so quick sometimes to just go and do. And instead, sometimes and often, we need to be still and listen. In Psalm 37:7, we're called to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So Mark Verkler said, I didn't have a guard post, but I did have an office. So I went there to quiet my temper and soul and my mind. Loving God through a quiet worship song, he says, is one way to become still. If your mind is just in 100 different, you know, directions, it's a good thing, you know, to put on a worship song and let that kind of calm you down and get you focused on Jesus. And so that's a good thing. And it isn't just enough to sing the song into the cosmos, which I thought this was a good point. He said, I come into the Lord's presence most quickly and easily when I use my godly imagination to see the truth that he is right there with me and I sing the songs to him personally. I've shared before that Matthew says, Jesus said, when you go into your closet, shut the door and the Father who is in the secret place will hear you and reward you openly. When the Lord showed me that, I realized when I go into the bathroom or into the closet or into my bedroom or into my car or wherever I am to get alone with God, the Father is already there. And when I picture him there, I stop begging him to come, understanding that he's already there to hear me and to speak with me. And so that's an important thing. So he said, I will keep watch to see, said the prophet. To receive the pure word of God, it's important that my heart be focused as I become still because my focus is the source of the flow. So if I fix my eyes upon Jesus, then the flow begins to come from Jesus. And that's something I've been sharing, the Lord's been teaching me for years, is to just fix my eyes on Jesus and to learn to focus on him. So the second key to hearing God's voice, as you pray, fix the eyes of your heart upon Jesus. I will keep watch and see. So as you pray, Fix the eyes of your heart upon Jesus, seeing in the spirit the dreams and visions of the Almighty God. So Habakkuk was actually looking for vision as he prayed. The Bible says that in the last days, that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Now, I've dreamed dreams, so that's not just for men. It is for young men and young women and old men and old women that we can see visions and have dream and dream dreams that God speaks through. So a vision is something we see during the day or in the night, you know, but a dream is something that happens while we're sleeping, obviously. So Habakkuk was actually looking for vision as he prayed. He opened the eyes of his heart and looked into the spirit world to see what God wanted to show him. I read a book years ago, and the guy said, and I've never forgotten this illustration. He said, just like a turtle pulls his head inside its shell, we need to look inward in our spirit. Because if we're only looking with our natural eyes, we're only going to see what the natural eyes can see. But when we begin, the Bible says, when the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart being enlightened, we need to learn to see as spiritual people. We need to learn to see with spiritual eyes. And so we begin looking in the spirit. We look at Jesus and we begin to look in the spirit to see what God is showing us. God has always spoken through dreams and visions, and he specifically said they would come to those on whom the Holy Spirit is poured out, like I said. So the third key to hearing God's voice is recognizing that God's voice in your heart often sounds like a flow of spontaneous thoughts. When you all of a sudden have a thought of somebody while you're driving down the road and you think, I feel like I need to pray for that person. Or all of a sudden you have a thought about somebody and you have a thought that they are going through a really hard time. Or maybe they're dealing with fear, or maybe they need healing, or maybe I should check on so-and-so. Don't ignore those spontaneous thoughts. Often that is the Holy Spirit speaking. That is when hearing God's voice. And often, like he said, we've been hearing God's voice for years. We just didn't recognize that it was him speaking to us. And I've heard it said, and this was really good. They said, often we will, after something happens, we'll go, I knew that I should have not said that or not done that, or I should have done that, or I should have said that. The cool thing is when you recognize that, pay attention to those circumstances so that you can learn from it. God is so merciful that even in our mistakes, he will teach us. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, if you are going to step out and obey God, you're going to make mistakes. Now, I hate that. I hate it. I wish that I never got it wrong. I wish that every time that I thought something was God, it was, and that I never missed it. But y'all, listen, I thought for sure, I'm just going to be really honest because most of you already know this anyway. I thought for sure that I had heard God, that Priscilla was going to come on November the 30th. I'm not lying. Like, I really thought it was God, to the point that, was it the 30th or the 28th? It was the 28th. Thank you. I forgot. Because then I had prayed and I said, you know, and I now realize, and it was funny because even Mark Berkler in some of his later teaching on hearing God's voice, he says, every time that I asked God for a specific date, it was wrong. He said, now maybe there are some people that can hear specific dates from God. He said, but every time, and you know, that he heard, and he said it almost shipwrecked my faith. Listen, I thought that I heard God when I heard God about what day I was going to have Jude, and that didn't happen either. I should have learned my lesson then, because I literally spent the next day in bed, like just so sad and frustrated, you know, and emotional. So anyway, my point is, don't throw out hearing God's voice because maybe you don't get it right every time. God said this to me, and I think I shared it on a Wednesday night, but God said this to me recently because the times that I've missed it, I'm like, oh, now I just can't hear God's voice at all. And I just want to throw the whole thing out. Well, God, how do I know that I can hear you on anything? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me recently and he went, you don't do that when you miss Rick. Like, how many of you, and I said this on a Wednesday night, if you are married or even children and parents, you say, I said that to you. And they go, no, you didn't. And you go, oh, we were standing right here. And they go, you never said that to me. Well, you don't throw out every conversation and go, well, obviously I can't hear you, so we're not going to talk anymore. And I'm not going to ever assume that what you're saying is true, because obviously I can't hear you. We don't do that with with humans, so we shouldn't do that with God. The truth is, sometimes, just like human conversation, we are focused on something else and we hear wrong, or we miss what God is saying. But my point is, as hard as it is, because as much as people, we don't ever want to miss it. If you're not willing to step out, you're not going to walk in the excitement that God offers. Listen, doing great things for God means humbling yourself and being willing to say, God, this is what I think you're saying. And that's something that he shared that we'll talk about in a few minutes, is that if you think something is God, present it to a couple of people that you trust, that are mentors, that are spiritual counselors, and say, hey, I feel like God is saying this to me. Does this sound like God to you? Humility is an important part of hearing God's voice. So, recognizing this flow of spontaneous thoughts, he said, therefore, when I want to hear from God, I tune chance encounter or spontaneous thoughts. My mom has also said, the will of God will keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. People often, like, if you want to know God's will, keep listening. God will keep speaking. And when it seems like you keep hearing and you keep seeing and God keeps speaking, the third time that you hear a voice on the radio and it's in your devotion, pay attention. Say, God, what are you saying to me? I don't want to miss a single word of what you're saying. He speaks to us and we can miss it if we're not paying attention. Finally, the fourth key, God told Habakkuk to record the vision. Habakkuk 2:2. This was not an isolated command. He says the scriptures record many examples of individuals' prayers and God's replies, such as the Psalms. One of my favorite Psalms and really one of my favorite life verses is Psalm 32:8. And if you read Psalm 32, you see that it goes from David speaking to God speaking to David. All of a sudden, it switches from David's voice to God's voice. And God says in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And so, and then it goes back into, and so that will happen as we learn to hear the voice of God. It will go from us praying to us hearing God speak. And so then we need to record when God is speaking and what he's saying to us. The Psalms, many of the prophets, and Revelation. And so he, Mark Regler, says, I have found that obeying this final principle amplified my confidence and my ability to hear God's voice so that I could finally make living out of his initiatives a way of life. So it's called two-way journaling, or the writing out of your prayers and God's answers brings great freedom to hearing God's voice. This is something that Robert Morris also encourages, is to write out to God and then write down what you believe God is saying to you. Because we can, the Bible says, this is what's important. John 10, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So you can hear God's voice. You just have to learn to recognize it. But the enemy will tell you that's not God. You just came up with that on your own. That picture that you saw, because often God speaks through pictures. We see pictures. That's not God. What you just saw, that doesn't even make sense. Why do you think that God would show you that? And the enemy loves to hinder us. Okay, so I just want to share this testimony that he says. He says, I found two-way journaling to be a fabulous catalyst for clearly discerning God's inner spontaneous flow. Because as I journal, I'm able to write in faith for long periods of time, simply believing it is God. I know that what I believe I have received from God must be tested. However, testing involves doubt, and doubt blocks divine communication. So he's saying, you don't have to test it while you're writing. After you finish writing, you go back and test it and see, does this line up with scripture? Does this reflect the character of God? And that's okay. But in the meantime, like when you're hearing God, you can just write what you believe God is saying to you. So he, after, let's go back to the story, the 14-year-old girl, he sat down with God and he said, I wrote down what I believed God had said. And what he believed God had said is, she is insecure. But the Lord wasn't done. I continue to write down the spontaneous thoughts that came to me. I just want to stop for a second. You know, the Bible says that Jesus knew the thoughts of those that he was teaching to. That's because the Holy Spirit knows, and God knows, and God can lead you, even if you're in conversation with somebody, and it's like you start to know, you start to know what they're thinking. You start to know they're questioning what you're saying right now. They're wondering if you care about them. They're wondering if, you know, and you can begin just like Jesus to answer the questions that people are asking in their minds, because God knows what they're thinking, and he wants to speak to people right where they are. So as we start to learn to tune to the Holy Spirit, and this two-way journaling is a good way to practice that just between you and God, you know, you don't have to, you know, if it's something that is going to be a life-altering decision, then it's definitely something you want to share with somebody, you know, and learn about. But it's just a good way to practice hearing God's voice. He said, God continued to say, love her unconditionally. She is flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. My mind immediately objected. She is not flesh of my flesh. She is not related to me at all. She is a foster child, just living in my home temporarily. It was definitely time to test this word from the Lord, he said. There are three possible sources of thoughts in our mind: ourselves, Satan, and the Holy Spirit. It was obvious that the words in my journal didn't come from my own mind, which that's sometimes how I've recognized, oh God, that was you, because that's not me. Like, I didn't come up with that, because I wouldn't have come up with that. I certainly didn't see her as insecure or flesh of my flesh. And I sincerely doubted that Satan would encourage me to love her anyone unconditionally. Okay, it was starting to look like I might have actually received counsel from the Lord. It was consistent with the names and character of God as revealed in the scripture, and totally contrary to the names and character of the enemy. So that meant that I was hearing from the Lord, and he wanted me to see the situation in a different light. Rachel was my daughter, part of my family, not by blood, but by the hand of God himself. The chaos of her birth home had created deep insecurity about her worthiness to be loved by anyone, including me and including God. Only the unconditional love of the Lord expressed through an imperfect human would reach her heart. But there was still one more test I needed to perform before I would have the absolute confidence that this was truly God's word to me. I needed confirmation from someone whose spiritual discernment I trusted. So I went to my wife and shared what I had received. I knew if I could get her validation, especially since she was the one most wronged in the situation, then I could say, at least to myself, thus says the Lord. Needless to say, Patty immediately and without question confirmed that the Lord had spoken to me. My entire planned lecture was forgotten. I returned to my office anxious to hear more. As the Lord planted a new supernatural love for Rachel within me, he showed me what to say and how to say it, not only address the current issue of household responsibility, but the deeper issues of love, acceptance, and worthiness. And then he goes on to explain that Rachel and her brother stayed a part of their family for years, for another 2 years, giving them opportunities to demonstrate God's love to them. And so it's very important that we learn to hear the voice of God, and this is a good way to do it. And so I just want to, he said, you'll be amazed when you journal. Doubt may hinder you at first, but throw it off, reminding yourself that it is a biblical concept. This is a concept throughout the Bible. We see that the prophets, that David, that things were written, that what God was saying was written down. And so it's a good way to practice hearing from God. I did this just the Friday night. I had a situation that I was just really concerned about. And sometimes when your mind is so full, it's hard to hear. And so I sat in my van, because it was quiet in there, and I presented. I have a journal. I have an app on my phone called Evernote that I use, and I just use that as my journal. You can have a journal on your computer if you prefer to type. You know, you can have a journal that you write in, but you just write out the question to God. And that's what I did. I just wrote out this question to God, and then I waited. You're supposed to picture Jesus, look at Jesus, and don't look at Jesus like this. Look at Jesus smiling at you. Like, you don't want to hear something from somebody that you think doesn't want to talk to you anyway. You know, God wants to speak to us. He is the good shepherd. He is, God is love. So look at him smiling at you, and then listen to what he has to say. And I just began to like swipe on my phone what God was saying to me. Was so encouraging. It was, and I thought, I really believe that that was God. And so this is what God does for us. And this is how we can hear God's voice. So we are going to, if you would like on the back of your, if you just go to the next, yes. Okay. So this is something that a question that you can write while Jacob, we're going to get ready for communion. We're going to take communion. And so as Jacob plays this video, I just want to invite you on the back of your page to just write one of these questions. And then as you just sit, fix your eyes on Jesus, and then just write what you believe God is saying to you. If you need some confirmation, if you need to present it to somebody, you know, if you want to present it to myself or Rick or Janine or mom or anybody that you trust, you know, your husband or wife, you know, and just, you know, if you need that confirmed. But again, the Bible says his sheep know his voice. My mom has always said, trust God more to get through to you than you trust yourself to hear him. He wants to speak to us. And so let's just take this as an opportunity to let him speak. And then we're going to focus on what Jesus did and how he died on the cross to draw us close and into relationship with him.